Okay. Regular meeting, Communications and Technology Committee, February 6th, 2020, 8:30 in the morning. Call to order. Comments from the public? Folks, no? Okay. Number three, monthly website and social media update.
You'll see that the first page of your packet is the update from our website. It goes for the month of January, so now we'll be giving it on a monthly basis. And then the next page, you'll see where we were with our Facebook hits, the pay, how many engagements we had, likes, new people, and then back on the website page, it is ordered with how many hits we had to the specific pages. I think the employment page was the number one there.
Usually shows where the community priority is based on what they're looking for.
And then how long everybody stayed on every page. So.
And on the Facebook side, we're adding, I had to withhold until Amelia was made actual district secretary to withhold her as the full admin of the Facebook page because I needed to
take
that control. So at the time, she was what was described as an editor. She had a lot of rights, but not all the rights. Well, now both she and I have the full rights to the Facebook page. Right. And we're going to grant those to Jeff and even Paul. Paul, you're just hearing about this now.
By the way, Paul.
Congratulations.
Lucky you.
So most of the time, Paul can provide a bit of information, and it's something, Amelia's available to put a notice online or whatever on the Facebook page, but we want more staff to have access to that management staff to be able to post critical information on a timely fashion. We had that overturned vehicle on Monday.
Mm-hmm. We did.
And
was that you that put that on?
As soon as I got in the office, I posted it on Facebook just to let people know if they're leaving the community that, hey, be careful. Mm-hmm. This may back up traffic. Just keep an eye out. It's that sort of thing that I think is helpful to the community. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm not here or Amelia's not here, it'd be great if Jeff could do it. The more people, the better. So we're going to try to spread that out a little bit more. And Tom should also have access to that. So we'll have everyone set up. What we do is we have them set up not a personal Facebook account, but a work-related Facebook account, and that's how they're linked to the work site, essentially.
Is there? I should know this, but I don't. on our website? Is there a way to sign up for messages on there?
Yes, sign up there for news.
Uh huh. Okay.
And then that puts you into the MailChimp system, which is what we use. For emergency, that's our emergency way of communicating.
It's one way of communicating. We have Code Red, which is like if we were to have an emergency that's not really related to OES, but something that comes directly from us, like a chlorine issue or something like that. And then the other method is the we're still advocating the reverse 911. Mm-hmm. That's something that the county has asked us to highlight and emphasize. I'm hoping next pipeline, just to reemphasize, I know we put notices in all the time. Let's reinforce the message on the reverse 911 in particular.
Okay. And then the pipeline, of course, is posted on the website, too, under district news and updates.
Correct. So that's it on social media. Any questions on that?
No, I'm just looking at some of the detail there.
I could almost make a graph. Of course, it would only have 2 months next month, but to see just where we are on hits and likes and visits.
It's so variable that I wouldn't
see a trend.
It. Yeah, it's really. That's something that I caution against is trying to spend a lot of time trying to show a trend where you're going to just see a whole jumble of things that aren't trends. They're just whatever is hot for that particular day.
Yeah.
I think this provides enough is what I'm getting
at. Okay.
That's the picture. And then at the end of the year or even, if we want to, we could even provide quarterly or semi-annual reports that kind of show the last 6 months or something like that if we want to see a more recent trend and in that format. And that's a pretty succinct way of showing it.
I like this, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Security banner locations.
Okay. What I'm going to speak to is we got two banners made up. This is what they look like. Full-size banners, same dimensions that RMA has, so it fits the pre-existing boards.
Sure.
Dale's going to take a picture.
You want a picture, good?
Yeah. Put it under your chin with a number on the bottom.
Yeah. Just put it in.
I missed it. I just missed my
camera. Oh, what a shame.
So, the intent is to advertise the program. The more we advertise it, hopefully more people sign up and utilize it. We have been kind of ongoing advertising it through Pipeline on the website and things, but now we want to have the banners out. And also that people understand that it's not just for holidays. It's can be
right.
used every
All
day
the
of the
time,
year
yeah.
for mm-hmm. guests, vendors, that you got somebody coming to do some work on your house or something. It's just an easier, faster way to process people through the North Gate. And the North Gate, as we know, is very busy pretty much all the time with normal traffic. So we went ahead and we actually placed an order for three banners. Our idea was at the time is RMA has two locations, one inside the Lago Gate and one in front of their building.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to place the third banner at the North Gate itself. And the idea is so that as people drive through, they'll see it, and as guests are waiting in line to get checked in, they look over and say, oh, hey,
I can do this.
What's yes, this yes. about yeah. when they get to the house, and hopefully spur their resident to sign them up for it. And this was also at a recommendation of RMA, because in their survey, a lot of people get information from RMA banners.
Mm-hmm.
So after we were working on this, our idea was passed on to RMA, and they said no. We can only have two banners, one at each, one at the Lago Gate and one in front of their building. They do not want us putting a banner in front of the gate. So we printed two banners, and I have them, they've been delivered. And so we're kind of at the point, we want to discuss it with the committee, see what the committee wants to do or what steps, if any. The banners will be turned over to RMA, and it's up to them to post them. I have a concern only from last year at the 4th of July, and this is my concern is based on this. We had an agreement with RMA in pre-planning for the 4th and developed the traffic pattern, designated the center lane for passes. RMA agreed to make signage that said fast pass, yellow pass, middle lane, and put them on barricades so people can mm-hmm. funnel to the right lane. I got a report that morning, and then when I got to work that afternoon, there were signs up, but they only said yellow pass, middle lane. The program was not advertised. So I've admitted before, I took a Sharpie and wrote on the signs, fast pass. And you can see people coming in, they read the signs, they jockey to the right lane, and we had traffic flowing, and it was a big success. So the second part of what we're going to do is utilize our nice big printer plotter back there. And when we have large events, whether it's a concert, like the Country Club is going to be having three events this summer where they're anticipating 300 people coming, 300 to 500 people for outdoor concerts. And there'll be pre-tickets sold, pre-passes, so we'll probably designate a traffic lane for that event, but that's an example of something coming up. So what we'll do is we'll print up a sign and we'll put them on barricades ourselves. So this is kind of what we came up with, is one sign will be printed like this and put on barricades. Do you want a picture? And if we have just an event that only we might use FastPass, we can do an alternate, but pretty much it's going to be something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will be sending their visitors yellow passes, or they'll already have one. So that's kind of where we're at. The biggest thing is this is something we'll do on our own because we're responsible for traffic flow.
Can I ask?
This is the issue okay. at hand is the banner. So mm-hmm. that's kind of where we're at.
Was there a reason given why we couldn't do this with RMA? Did RMA give you a reason?
Mark, other than...
I think that my guess, not my guess, but because they didn't really say it, they just said, no, we just only have two locations that we put signs at. And so it's possible that they have policies on their side that that restrict where they can post things. And there may be good reason, actually good reason mm-hmm. to them as to why they have those restrictions, just so it doesn't get untidy and signs everywhere and such. But I think it's something worth investigating with RMA leadership mm-hmm. to
I would say
have
so.
That allowed. Because it makes a lot of sense. Not posting signage ahead of the gatehouse mm-hmm. to direct people to go, is that makes the most sense to mm-hmm. do that.
Right.
Not after the fact. So maybe we can we'll work on getting an exception.
Okay.
It's not that we weren't going to work on it. It's we wanted to bring it to our board so that you could see that this is some of the trials and tribulations that we encounter as we try to implement things that are perhaps common sense approaches. But I do want to respect RMA's policies and rules because there might be a reason for that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to necessarily stomp on them and say, well, we should just be able to do whatever we want. We got to work with them. And
but they weren't interested in talking to anybody about it, at that point anyways.
It was the request was mm-hmm. denied. That those were the two options that we had for posting signage. So, there you go. So, just to share that with you.
33-year history of
tunnel vision.
Okay. I mean, it would be new and unique and unusual. We can't have that.
I don't even think the board knew that.
We don't do things that way.
Well, we bring
okay. There's some conversations we could probably have that at least somebody should give us a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right now there's, I think this would be a good thing to resolve with the new general manager when a new general manager is in place.
This may be really dumb, but when somebody comes through and we give them pass, would it make sense to give them a little handout about FastPass? And I understand that there are people that come through on a one-time basis, like your plumber. There's lots of. I don't know how you would segregate it, or if it's worth giving it some thought about communicating with those folks coming in. So, like, I'm making this up, but hey, give this to your brother-in-law or whoever,
I think that's a great idea.
Avoid the line.
Yeah, I think it's a great
idea. We need some marketing,
Yeah,
we need
I actually have thought about that. We're working on the banners first.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying do it tomorrow, but
but I've thought about that, especially a few weeks out from a major event coming. Last year, I did make a sign that we posted in the window of the gate, so as they're looking at the window to get their pass, the sign is right here, so they see it. And that was what we did at the gate at the time. We haven't done a handout. It's very simple. We've already got the flyer made up. We just print them off, basically.
Can you put something on the building itself?
That's part of this discussion.
I would.
We occupy and run the building, but they own it. So that's where this discussion kind of came, is we were just going to put it, I had poles ordered on the lawn right there, kind of at an angle and whatnot. So I doubt that they would let us hang it on the building.
I mean, I would, even if we were doing like a limited campaign, mm-hmm. to be able to hang one right on the front of the building. I mean, it's to their advantage. I mean, it's not like we're selling subscriptions to the water supply or something.
Right.
we're trying to get your people through the gate more quickly, and the better at ETC concerts, the better seats are available for those that show up early.
We'll work. I think the best thing to do is try to work this with the new general manager once that manager
that may
is in
be.
Place.
Yeah.
Because I think we know the answer if we try to advance that right now.
Yeah, but I would look for, and the other one that I don't want to get into security discussions, but the thing that I have like 7 people on my permanent list, and I was trying to understand in my head why I wouldn't give them one of these. I mean, I can't see a reason not to, where they would just, I mean, you know, they're only going to come to the gate and you're going to verify what you already know anyway. I don't know, there may be some ultimate security reason you wouldn't do it. But if there are, there have to be, with 2,700 people, there have to be, I'm guessing, 6,000 people on those lists. Some people have 20 people in their family, you know. So maybe there's a way, ultimately, we, if you're on the, if you're on the app, if you're on that list, the permanent list, that you get something that, you know, allows you to go through. And, you know, when you talk about total trips, I mean, those people got to represent X percent, a significant percent of the pass-throughs on an annual basis. So
yeah, the FastPass is utilized for any guest, permanent or not.
Yeah.
So certainly permanent guests would benefit from it because they come once a week or once a month, whatever the issue is.
Some of them some of them come every day.
Yeah, pretty much daily or a couple times a week. Yep.
What are the mechanics behind...
So it just gets you through real fast.
What are the mechanics behind John issuing the electronic fast pass?
He just has to check a box that when they come in.
And is that a permanent thing or is that just a one-time thing?
No, the system still is just for that one. Yeah, the system is...
Yeah.
It's just for one day.
Yeah.
So if he knows somebody's coming tomorrow, he could send them the pass.
Right.
Electronic. Okay.
But a lot of those people, a lot of those folks, like Linda said, you know, caregivers and whatever that, that, or your uncle or something, you'd be going on the app, trying to remember to go on the app every morning and get them on here. So that really doesn't. So the people that are most trusted are actually going through more of a rigmarole to get in the gate than the other people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at any rate,
they got to be checked in.
That's a security discussion. I don't want to get into that. But
do it with the pass.
Does the system have the capability to have a standing fast pass if RMA policy allowed it?
My understanding is no.
But you might be able to go to the developer at some point and get... I mean, you might be able to get some assistance with that. I can't.
You'd still have to trigger it for the day because the way the system is set up, it's good for one day.
Yeah.
They did that by design so people don't get around the system.
Right. But at any rate, it's worth looking at or thinking about. So. But I would, you know, in the end, if we could do some really focused marketing. And even community-wide, there are other issues. I mean, I spent a lot of time, and Gail wrote that article, about trying to get this traffic road maintenance thing on the table for this community. And we're going to have a meeting that, you know, if we get seven people show up, we're going to look like idiots. And it'll be the last meeting we ever have. So in cases like that, I would love to be able to put in for really critical issues that relate to the community. I'd really like to have a focal point in the community shared by all of these entities that we, you know, short of the electronic sign that I've been, you know, we'll go to the Gray lobbying for. That right on the front of the building, I mean, you know, it's not every community in the world does that. You know, blood drive or you know, this week is ETC sign up week, or it's national, you know, Conserve Water Day or something.
Do you think, I mean, that's something that I think is going to have to be lobbied to the RMA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The residents should ask for that of the RMA to have that. I mean, because there's many, you know, we're a fraction of
the events. Exactly.
To be better advertised.
Exactly.
In the community.
So
they've talked about that electronic sign. At one point, I was told it was on budget and ready to go, and then
there was. I don't know if it
the last
if it,
2 years.
If it really, happened, but when Greg designed that, he and I worked on actually laying conduit to a location outside the building there somewhere where for the eventuality of having that sign in place. I don't know if that ever happened.
Do you know where the location was? Proposed
no,
location?
No, it's probably gone forever now. But if it's there, we'll never find it. Okay. But we did have some discussions about it because he and I were years and years ago were behind that sign big time, and signs just never happened. So, but anyway, update on communicating with the community process for emergency, non-emergency, but necessary contacts. There
we go. This is Linda.
Yeah, so I have two in here.
Linda, introduce this.
Okay, so a while ago, I'm thinking we've talked about it at least a couple times, and the yellow water situation was what really gave us a push. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about getting our contact information updated, you know, text, telephone, address. What's the other one? Email. And to help us be able to do that. And from there, go to that, this is a non-emergency, but we need to notify five people on this court that these things are happening today, or when they're happening. And so it's a, I'm just kind of curious and wondering where we are with that. I know we've been crazy busy, but I'm hoping that we can get that moving. I just think that we would have fewer question marks about customer service and stuff like that if we can get that set up. And I know that for a lot of reasons, the community would be ever so grateful if we actually had a list of people with their contact information. We may not be able to share it, but at least we'd have it.
We, I think we have discussed this, and we have a plan in place to put a web-based, and we'll also have the ability if individuals want to fill out forms and such, and we could input it for them if they're not as web-savvy. But that is a module we were looking to add to our utility billing system.
Okay, right.
And because there are fields in there where we can track all that information. We do know that every single parcel in the district has a record.
Has a record, yeah.
And so, or should have a record.
Mm-hmm.
So that is likely the best spot to do it, and that's why we looked into this web-based capability. We have just slowed the implementation of that because we've implemented so many things, and we've had a few hiccups here and there on other things that we've implemented that we really need to stabilize before we go forward with new initiatives.
Right? Okay.
So it is absolutely on the radar. It is just a matter of once we have some capacity to implement, then we're going to look forward to implementing it.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I was.
And Amelia's getting up to speed on like MailChimp and these other things that we have. So and. Doing a great job of staying on top of that and learning a lot.
A lot. Yeah. Drinking through a fire hose? Yes.
Is protocol here.
That's what it feels like.
How do we, when we create the pipeline, what do we use? Do we use MailChimp for that, or what? How do we get that?
It's just mailed out, and then.
Well, how do you create it? Where? In what format?
In a
publisher.
In a publisher document, and then I print it to PDF.
Okay. And are we using MailChimp at all to communicate that?
It's just a kind of a storing house of people's. Information. It's where
we send it out. We have it electronically on our website, and we send it with the billings, and that's how it's communicated right now. We have not sent it out. The feedback that I recall Suzanne talking about in the past was that there were concerns about people being overwhelmed with information, and that we received a lot of complaints at the time. But right now, it may be that people are less of an issue.
Yeah.
So
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So we're. Yeah.
Hey, I've heard a lot of kind of like the opposite around here.
I'm fine of trying it. You know, once we have this comprehensive list created, of starting that through email communications, what we have to research is. You know, you see these mail campaigns that are out there, Constant Contact and things like that. We might have to engage a tool like that because I'm not sure that even this ability for us to collect the utility user information online is going to give us the tools that we need to be able to allow people to opt out and unsubscribe and selectively unsubscribe and all that. So I think that's something we should look into as far as a capability, because we want to give people that option if they really don't want to, you know, receive certain types of information.
And I've used one before. I think it was Constant Contact. And and you just enter the email list. It's very, very easy, very interactive. You upload your document, whatever it is you want to send out to everybody. And then right there, when they receive it, at the bottom of the email, it says unsubscribe. Mm-hmm. Then I get an email, I get the list back of everybody who's unsubscribed, and it won't allow me to send to them again, to that email address again. So it's very accurate.
And we will likely, if it's something where it's an emergency communication, I'm not certain that that's something that...
Well, we do the red alert thing for...
Yeah, for
right, and that's a text message.
Anything of that dramatic would be...
We do either code red or reverse
code red, I meant,
one.
Yeah. One of the...
But we'll use that list to populate our code red, too. I mean, that's what we'll use that to...
Yeah.
I mean, with code red's supposed to grab the numbers.
The phone number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
One of the things going forward we might want to think about in terms of the way we do things in this committee is there has been and continues to be a demographic transition in this community, and you're living in the past when you continue to say, well, people get mad when we give them too much information, or people, we can't do that. Nobody in this community uses email, or you know they don't. Nobody in this community will go on your website. I mean, you have social media tied to Facebook in this community, where now if you start looking at how many subscribers they have on these and start adding them up, you've got thousands of people running around here interacting with their iPad and their laptop and all this other stuff, and I in no way want to ignore the fact that we have a different demographic that may not do that or may resist that.
Sure.
But I don't want to hold back moving forward with linking up with the
Absolutely.
Community as a result of, well, we still have people that live here who don't have a computer.
Yeah,
we can accommodate them, and we should,
Absolutely.
Because they pay a bill just like everybody else does.
We're going to keep as time allows and our ability to tackle this stuff, it's going to be on the bleeding edge for those that want bleeding edge. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, like the Constant Contact as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
But then,
I mean, you have a menu and you pick what you want from it.
Correct. Just like the county, you know, like county subscription.
Right.
You
want
to subscribe to newsletters and things like that. That's what we're looking at. But I have a sense we're going to have to engage another tool to be able to provide that specific level. So it'd be good to research.
I will.
And such for that. But yeah, I think I presented that perspective as a past perspective that was there.
It is. It very much is.
I think it is, and I do think it is a past perspective, and it may, and who knows if it was a super majority or a super minority that felt that way at
right.
that time. So
right.
I'm fine with giving it another shot and keep doing that. I mean, there's no reason not to. It's a very efficient and effective way to communicate, so why wouldn't we?
Yeah, and just like the county does, and the one thing about their website that they do well is you can overwhelm yourself with information from
them.
You can get every living thing that happens down there, or you can get one or two items.
Correct.
You can tie into specific supervisors or the Board of Supervisors website, their meetings and agendas, the planners' meetings and agendas.
Uh-huh.
They'll notify you when we have a CPAC meeting, give you the, but you pick, you know, and that's kind of like philosophically where I'd like to be. We got all this stuff here. We'll tell you what it is, and then you guys decide how much of it you want.
Correct. And we can do that with pipeline. We can do that with meeting packets. There's all sorts of content that can be served that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty.
We could, at the initial, when we get this contact information available, I'm thinking that the thing that everybody has to look at some point is their bill. And that would be a way to give them a we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you want to be contacted? What, you know, how much information do you want? Do you have the resource of a computer?
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. So we don't forget those.
Mm-hmm. And we could even, you know, one idea is, even though we have our pipeline, things do get lost in the pipeline,
mm-hmm.
meaning
mm-hmm.
that it's part of a lot of other content. Do a special tri-cut or something like that, just to really
it's easy to do on the monthly mailings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. if you have some significant or important
message
that you want to deliver, then if you put it in the middle of the pipeline, your chances of it getting mm-hmm. picked up are minimal, you know, are less than they would be if you put
a third cut, like the blood drive.
Or
test.
If you were to put a banner across the front of the guard jacket at the North Gate, where everyone would see it.
I can give you some spray paint.
Some graffiti.
Is that John's handwriting? Big arrow says guard here. Okay.
You didn't hear that, Gail.
No, please don't put that in the paper.
Don't. She's not typing. I think we're okay.
I need some time out of the paper. I really do. All right. Item six.
Okay. That's mine, too. Mm-hmm. I hope I can explain my angst over this, but this started for me a while ago, but the last time we met and I brought up, you know, developer communication with the community and blah, blah, and we talked about some of it, but I really was concerned about the fact that the developer does some things that we may not be aware of or that are not done in a way or where there's a process.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really have information and or appropriate information, the right information. So I went back. This is in particular about the water situation and the drainage situation. So I went back to where I remembered the first time I heard about something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the August meeting, and I may have missed something prior to that, but it was in the August meeting, and I remember it saying, a deposit for review has been received by the developer to support district review. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure exactly what that meant, but it seemed like what he was saying, or what we were saying, was that we had received money,
mm-hmm.
And somehow or other that was supposed to get him able to start looking at
his plans, and his ability to do that.
Was there also money that needed to be given to the county?
It was represented to us, and this is part of the discussion that we had at the other meeting. It had been represented to us that their project was being actively reviewed by the county the entire time. Mm-hmm. We're not accepting that representation again. All communications of stop go are going to be from the county from here on out.
Yeah, and if
I'm not going to accept the word.
Yeah, to add to that, if that in fact was happening, the answer would have been yes, that he would have had to give them money to do their part of it.
Okay.
Correct.
And that was up in the air as well.
And it was
nobody really understood whether they had or they hadn't.
I can tell you we were told countless times by Mr. Sullivan and then by another staff person who works with him that the project's being reviewed and going forward at the county. That's what was represented.
Right.
They never told us, oh, what's on hold right now. Unfortunately, we took their word for it. And I'd like to be able to do business that way if possible, but I've learned we're not able to do it in this instance. And there's other tools, like right now the website itself actually says project on hold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it does. I haven't been
But that doesn't always necessarily, you have to, there's some nuance to online, you know, it's a category, it's a pull down. There may be more to the story that mm-hmm. may say it's just temporarily on hold and it's still okay for us to review the plans.
Right.
I want, as I mentioned in the other meeting, I want the quarterback, who is the county land use authority, the planners, they're going to be telling us, yeah, it's a go, it's a no-go, and we're going to go by that. However, that all said, it is not necessarily inappropriate if we are asked to do a review, but it wouldn't be an official review. There's always a pre-application phase in development, and and it's something that we did all the time as planners and whatever, where someone could come in, pay a fee for a review. And in fact, Mr. Kyle did this on Residences East. He submitted money to the county. The county prepared a letter to him telling him this is likely what you're going to encounter, what you got to do. He has that option to come to us and say, hey, can you review my plans ahead of time, preliminary to a formal submittal to the county? And we should do that.
We'd be obligated to do that for anybody, that's part of a good working relationship.
So, yeah. But the fact that these are being represented as these are the plans for the active project, the county is also actively reviewing all the other land use entitlement considerations, because you don't want to get out of sync. You basically don't want to be out of sync with the transportation, the lot alignments, all the other factors that can impact where your utilities run. And so I'm sending a letter. We're meeting with the developer on Monday. I'm going to hand him a letter at that meeting. That's going to be very clear as to what the protocol is from here on out, and that's what we're going to follow as a district.
Okay, good.
Will we be able to see that letter?
Yeah, I can provide it to you.
So then from that point, the next thing was in September, Rancho Mirada North Development, and again, a deposit for review has been received by the developer to support district review, et cetera. The issue is that Sacramento County has not begun their review, as the county is saying their fee has not been received, which is exactly what you were saying. So that was a pretty big tip-off.
And then we were told by the developer, and this is, like I said, it's just there's no more trust there at this point, unfortunately. That we were told.
Yeah.
That we've resolved that. It's their full go. So
it's just amazing.
It's not going to operate that way.
Right.
Anymore.
And then number three was in December.
And just so you know, I did meet with, and I think I mentioned that, and you were both in that as spectators in the meeting about the fact that I met with the county staff. So now I have that direct relationship with them. Communicate. I know who the players are down there, and we're going to make sure that we stay involved in communicating with them on a regular basis.
And for the first time in quite some time, it appears that we no longer have musical chairs on his development. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had planners moving in and out. You could not tell a player without a scorecard.
Well, and without that relationship, seeing them face to face and showing them that you're legit and that you know what you're doing, that they're more hesitant to share information. Yeah, that's just the nature of it.
Right.
Now that they see, it's someone who gets planning and development and all that, and is having similar experiences as they're having, that now we've built that trust with the county now, so that we're going to have much better communication from here on out.
Part of that, historically, too, when we dealt with the last set of developers on the identical parcels. Okay, this is back 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
Jerry, Cassano and Camillus would, throughout that project, right or wrong, whether people agreed with them or not, on a weekly basis, were here in front of the community willing to answer questions. And they were some nasty meetings. And they did not stop coming because they were nasty, and they were not there to tell you they were going to do it your way, but they were there to communicate and to interact. Part of this goes back, in terms of communications, it goes back to the way the whole project was mishandled from the very first day. When they tromped into CPAC and dropped that loosely book on my desk, which the county had told them not to do, and introduced that project into the pipeline
as if it was real.
In a totally different fashion than it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the outreach meetings that they had, and you were probably which were not outreach. I mean, we had people hanging out the windows, literally hanging out the windows here in the CSD, because we had three times the amount of people here that couldn't be allowed in. There were no seats because the developers were let in early. We had that meeting, and then we had a meeting at the horse barn where you weren't allowed to ask questions. Mm-hmm. So, and that was the extent, and that's part of the whole problem with communicating over these developments is the county has a rather systematic way that that project, that application is created, and then the project systematically passes through a series of stages. Mm-hmm. And these have not always been honored on this project. And like now it's on hold, but you would have seen where there are no changes to documents that go back to some 2014. Right. We're in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then there were updates in 2017. So
yeah.
All of that contributes to this fog around yeah. this whole deal.
Understand that even, you know, even documents that are 3 or 4 years old oftentimes do get acted on at some point.
Oh, sure.
So a project
sure.
can fire up like that,
yeah,
even
but
though
the,
it's been dead for
but
a
these
long
were,
time,
once we so. Found the yellow map, I mean, yeah. a lot of these documents were systematically changed. And from that point in time when we had the stakeholder meetings, nothing has happened on this project.
So when the county, in my opinion, the county planning as a land use authority and the quarterback on this, they have an obligation to at least discuss this with the developer, and if they want to require it, they could say, hey, we need you to get out there to the community and have this discussion. Mm-hmm. They are the ones overseeing the comprehensive project that's being applied for. We are a commenter on a component of that project,
yeah,
the utility component for the most part.
Yeah.
And so it's the county needs to
right.
require that.
And I think you will see that because there is, and again, there's new players again in some spots, but there is a rather extensive group down there that understands that the public outreach of this project on the last pass was really, really terrible. And they will they will tell you pretty much in those terms that that's their view of it. And that mm-hmm. extends even up to the supervisor's offices. Everybody understands that it was handled poorly. And a lot of the problems and a lot of misconceptions about the project in general stem from the fact that this community has not been told anything since 2016. That was the last time.
And that's
time.
Where if there is a restart, or if the project changes, it's at that point that
right.
it should be very clear,
right.
clearly communicated as to what's going on.
To the right. community.
Yeah, by the developer.
By the developer.
With the county requiring that.
He
right.
lives here.
They have the authority. He literally could tell us to pan sand.
Mm-hmm.
We're a commenter to the county.
Yes, yes. But the county is not, there are places where the brakes get applied when you haven't complied with the system, and part of their system includes the public outreach requirements that were at best handled poorly and at worst didn't really exist. I mean, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot going on. So
somewhere at that point it became knowledge in here that he wanted to change or do something differently than what is for the drainage, mm-hmm. than what is basically set up by the county. And we knew about that or found out about that because Paul pulled that up, you know, and got that information going. And am I telling this right?
That was their first application. I mean, that's what they applied for. So in representing that they had submitted all those documents to the county.
Right.
That was their application. And part of that process is always iterative. It's always, here's what we're proposing, and it's up to the governmental entities that conduct the review mm-hmm. to come back with, no, you can't do that, or yeah, it looks okay, or you have to amend your proposal to fit these requirements. We had, in building at Stockton, we had the whole gamut of individuals that would, seasoned architects and designers and engineers that would come in with a plan, and you could almost guarantee that that thing was going to be spot on perfect and require very little review.
Right.
We had others who thought it was our job to know all the laws and the regulations and all that, and you'd get it on the back of a napkin. And so, so it's that whole gamut that the review can take. It can be a very quick process, and yeah, you did everything according to Hoyle, And there's others that need to be brought into what is the proper practice and what regulations are in place. Some do it purposefully. They'll submit what they can to see what can get by. Others or do it just out of sheer lack of understanding and knowledge of what other regulations are out there. Fairly. I mean, it's like they just don't know. They don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. But in this group, they're very seasoned and
and
likely we're aware of that requirement.
And you can, you know, one of the striking things to me in this process was as I followed through on the Jackson Township and Newbridge and all these the West Jackson, all these new developments that are going in, and without even philosophically commenting on whether I like them or I don't like them or anything else, the gathering and dissemination of information on those projects does not in any way represent this. And this is minutia compared to what's going on down there. Some of these developments, that these presentations that I was going to, involve 7,000 houses. Mm-hmm. That's building a community in that exceeds the size of Rancho Murrieta. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know, you really got to start. If it's done the way Mark's referencing, then and it's done that way for a reason. You don't get into the trick bags that we got into with this one. And I'm a victim of that. And I saw, and now this document that was the super secret and paid for and not paid for is now sitting on the county website.
Right.
So it's now fair game.
So the county,
it's fair,
yeah, absolutely.
You know,
the county
is fair game now.
The county actually has a very robust plan tracking system out there when there's applications. It's actually nice, the transparency of it.
Yeah.
And the status and such. And then you have to go to the planner for more specifics if you wanted more. But that's not easy to upkeep something
right.
like that and provide that level of transparency. So it's good that they do it. It's nice, and nice to know the tools there.
There was, in this particular document, the drainage study that the county now has put on the website, There was, and again, that concept surfaced in 2016. It's on page 2 of the minutes from the stakeholders meeting, where McKay and Somps, I think that's who they are, or they're Sullivan's engineer, proposed the system that would essentially, you know, use Lake Clementia as opposed to using retention basins as a depository. And there was discussion at that meeting, you know, like, huh? Mm-hmm. And going forward, when they dropped that secret document here that you're entitled to and I'm entitled to, nobody else is entitled to it at that point, you know, there is a philosophical concept there, not a, well, we're going to put pipes here and we're going to put this here and this here and this is how the system's going to work. There's a concept there that violates everything we've ever done in this community before, that I felt like really needed to get aired out. And that was his responsibility. You know, if you're gonna sell that, okay, where I'm gonna clean this stuff up, you know, I'm gonna clean this stuff up in a system that's uncommon and a system we've never used here before, and ultimately we're gonna drive this cleaned up product into our reservoirs. I thought that needed airing out, and it didn't get it because it was secret. And he was, just like every other part of this project, it's make sure nobody knows about it, is what it was. And so he could have up front put that out there, like, you know, this is a new concept, but we can support this. And it wasn't done that way.
It would have been to his advantage to do that. Mm-hmm. On our side, our review is, you know, we have a technical responsibility to be very objective in how we review things. And until we have that review and technical response, there really is no response. It's in process. Mm-hmm. And that's why, at that point, before there's even a response back, there is no response, basically. And so we need to be able to comment back. Is this even in the realm of acceptability? Does this conflict with plans? Yes or no? Are we the body to determine whether or not it conflicts with that plan, or is what's in our plan from the Department of drinking water, the Division of Drinking Water. Mm-hmm. If they have that conflict, you know, if that's who the ultimate arbiter of that will be, then we need to see what their opinion is on that, of their degree right. of willing to accept it. I mean, that's the process that gets worked out.
But in most cases, I feel confident in telling you that if I was going to, if I'm John Sullivan, I'd kind of want to test the waters on that philosophical concept before I went any further, rather than put it in a plan, submit it to the CSD, coincidentally or non-coincidentally omit the fact that maybe the drinking water folks would like to take a look at it, you know, and we'll drop it here and we'll just see if this skirts by.
And this is why, and it wouldn't. Yeah, it didn't, and as you saw, I mean, it didn't skirt by.
Right.
The whole thing of correcting to the proper protocol is making sure that they are required to submit whatever we see directly to the county, and that is how we receive the documents. Mm-hmm. The county is going to be the one on the hook to say that, yes, this is what they submitted. We duly note that we received this exact document, and CSD, here's your copy of what we received. Mm-hmm. Now, whether the games, and there's always the possibility that one entity gets a different looking document than another. Oh, I'm sorry, we gave you the old draft. Right. I've heard a lot of excuses over my career.
But they
ensures that we're on the same page.
Yeah.
And then that communication is happening that, you know, back to the county, that's the conduit. Not even providing the comments directly back to the applicant. The county will provide the comments back to the applicant through right. their process. That's the job. That's
and
the right
I would
way to
feel
do it.
I would feel comfortable if like I do now, where this document, the secret document, is now that's a secret. It's up there, and I would feel confident that's the you know, if the county puts it up there, I'm going to assume, until I have reason to do otherwise, that's the document we're going to work with.
Yeah.
Okay, and you know, this whole business, you know, it's about, well, if I can drop this document somewhere else, it might slide, or it might, you know, oh, well, maybe they're not going to notice that it's not going to the DWR or whatever.
We shouldn't be wasting our resources having to check what we have against what the county has on their website.
Exactly.
By it coming directly from the county, we know that's exactly the same version that they received. And any updates that we get to that plan are to go through the county and then back to us.
Yeah.
That's the conduit from here on out. Yeah.
Back to like page two of what you were going to tell us.
Yeah. It's not about telling. It's about I personally, as a representative to the community, you know, and what's happening with these developments. One of the things that when I ran for the election, I said water security and water quality and quantity was of interest to me, a big interest to me, because it's all we have is what's in those lakes. And I'm very, very unhappy with this thing that he has put out there. And I think the community...
there's not. Well, I don't know. They might have a fit if they knew.
If they knew, yeah.
And they don't know.
And so I thought that this article from Gail at the River Valley Times was excellent, informative, and Paul's contribution to that was absolutely spot on. And I guess... What continues to concern me is that we have to watch this, that we can't trust this developer, from my observation anyways.
I mean, it is what it is.
There you go.
The
Good.
Opportunities to review at different stages, the county as they choose, as the quarterback and the responsible party on this, to post items as public documents. That's their job, to make that decision as to what gets released publicly. They're the party that these are actually being submitted to. We're a referred party from the county. And so it's just, it's part of the thing. It is not the responsibility of governmental entities who are trying to conduct objective review to clue people in and try to politicize the process either. That's not our role. Mm-hmm. We're to be objective, regardless of the party, good player or bad. We're to remain professional in our review. But if there's something wrong with the plans, then we have to catch that from a professional assessment basis. Comment to that effect. That's our job, mm-hmm. our obligation. Yeah.
So, that's it. I'm relieved, you know, that we're on top of this, and I'm also relieved that things like this that have. I'm thinking about the bond issue and for the water plant and how we were going to give the money back. We weren't going to, but you know that came up. That's a tricky little way to operate from my perspective. And I guess we maybe need to hire somebody to keep our eye on it. Jeez. But he's untrustworthy from my perspective. Okay.
Any other discussions on that?
Are we down to suggestions and comments?
Yeah.
go ahead.
It's a completely separate issue, but I read the logs, you know, in the paper and all that information. And this is about a thought that I had to try and keep some of the kids out of the Back Lakes. There's gates. That could be locked.
So that was a discussion that I had with RMA. One of their management level first, and then compliance committee.
Uh-huh. We have to be careful not to get too far off topic.
Right.
Yeah. Right, but... The
I was bringing it up for
the end result is they don't want to lock the gates.
Yeah, there is from a communication standpoint you can bring this back.
Yeah.
There is, and for the next meeting we could even kind of etch this in as a discussion topic.
Yeah, that's what I like to do.
There's I spend a tremendous amount of time out there. Linda does too, and there is an ever increasing. Every golden retriever has a stick, and he's all wet because he's been in the water. Okay, and we're going at the same simultaneous with my God, they're going to put drainage water in
right.
in Lake Clementia. We have every golden retriever in the top two lakes that are really serious.
Right. I tasted Labradoodle.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
you know, and that's why
and there are
the manganese.
From a communications standpoint, I don't know if I'm alone in this or not, but the first step communicating with the public about our drinking water supply would be to begin to refer to them as reservoirs and not lakes. Are they, Paul, are they officially reservoirs?
Yes.
Or is that a correct term
yes,
to use?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then if that is a correct term to use, then it should be the Chesboro Reservoir. Okay? And growing up as a kid in New York, where New York City water supply comes from the north, from Westchester County, is the reason the bagels and the coffee are so damn good in New York, and the pizza, and that you don't go near that water supply.
It's
full of fish, and you know it's some of the most beautiful in the fall, beautiful places you'd ever want to. You don't go near that stuff. You don't have any body contact with those reservoirs, and I think there are probably a lot of other places in the world where that happens. And we're unique here in that we integrate recreation, which I think is great, is fine. But, you know, we need, you know, and you're kind of going like this as you go around the path, because in conjunction with going in the lake after the stick, they're also pooping on the
path.
All the paths surrounding it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, cleaning off your bike tires is commonplace. So there's some education we should probably be doing or redoing. It's not like we haven't attempted some of this before. And there are other conversations we might begin to have community-wide about. And we get all kinds of complaints about people raising hell out there at night. Well, have a conversation about, when it gets dark, what do we close?
Mm-hmm. We were having those discussions at one point with Greg Vorster, and it was really their desire to not close them.
That might be
and
different.
So we'll have a, this is again is another with a new GM to start mm-hmm. re-engage that conversation. Yeah. Then we have to discern who will have what responsibility. And so
right.
It could be a combination of security and army maintenance crews mm-hmm. as far as who has obligations for blocking at night versus morning, maybe certain just days of the week on the weekends and critical times when people are, most of the infractions are and such. What happens if someone gets stuck behind the gate once they're locked in? They just didn't know that they were behind there. How does that person get allowed out? So there's been discussion
right.
on some of the
right.
technical issues that have to be.
And I want to be clear, I'm not, I don't want this going any place, Gail, where we want to lock down the back area.
Sure.
But I think you could have and if you were really testing the community's reaction, I think you would get a quite different reaction to daylight use and closes at dusk.
Right.
And I mean, we have places, we have parks where we have big signs in parks that say they're closed at dusk. Why would we not treat our water supply? I mean, when Paul had the lakes down, when Calero was way down in the last 6 months or 8 months, there are tire tracks where they were out on, we have the path level here mm-hmm. and the lake level is most of the year is like this, and sometimes it gets down there. Well, if they get the opportunity to get into, that's physically inside the reservoir, mm-hmm. they're driving on your reservoir. I mean, they're down there, and it's not the fishing guys and all that have a great deal of respect for what goes on out there. It's the kids playing around.
That's agreed. And we have, as Paul has stated in the meeting that we just had on the improvements and the fishermen mm-hmm. hooking our oxygenation
right.
lines
right.
and such,
mm-hmm.
it's time to have that discussion mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
To make real clear we need to protect.
That's
them.
What, from both perspectives, from what gets put in our lakes that shouldn't be there, and the security issue of, how do they get there? They're driving right in, And so I would like to somehow see, maybe put a agenda item and just talk it out and figure out what the issues are. And when we get a new...
GM.
Sorry, at RMA, that should be one of the top things.
And you could, and I want to tie that. I would like to, understanding that we would come up with a set of ideas, mm-hmm. ideals, parameters, right. whatever you want to call them, that we could do an education program in rather than say. From now on, you cannot do this.
Right.
You cannot do this. You can. What I'm trying to get to is more of an education program to start with. I mean, you're dealing with two different kinds of issues. One is the reservoir issue, which I think you can sell in a softer way. Understand, folks, that we have this beautiful environment that we all enjoy. We got the bike trails. We got the walking trails. We got the circles around the lakes. All that stuff. But you got to understand that why they're there to begin with. Mm-hmm. And they were not, God did not put them there. Pension Trust Fund put them there. And they were put there for a reason. And, we got to understand that their primary function is this, and we need to respect that while we do all the other stuff. And then we can make a big banner and hang it on the front of
the gatehouse. Gate.
the lake.
You know, and I think in the long term we are you buying into any of this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to.
I brought it up years ago.
I know you did.
I'm taking notes that the dams are also not four-wheel drive testing areas.
Yeah, right.
You've got.
Oh, by the way, we spent $36,000 to inspect it. Why would you want to do any damage to it?
Yeah, and then we have to go and repair it, and et cetera. Yeah. That all comes out of their parents' pockets, you know.
Right.
So. I think that's the approach, too.
Yeah. But, you know, and so I think it's a good place. You know, you can start soft. You can start with just understand while you're walking around with your golden retriever that...
It doesn't belong in the lake.
And we can expand on that more, but I want to bring it up. The other thing, I'm sorry, are you?
I just felt that there was a, you know, a connection. Why do we need security in the back? Well, because that's our drinking water, that's our bathing water, that's our water supply. And as reservoirs, you were talking about New York, San Francisco. You drive down 35. There's a name for the highway, and you see the Hetch Hetchy has gone into
Crystal Springs, right.
By the golf course.
It's pure.
Yeah.
There's no houses around it. There's no people walking around it. There's no.
Only if you're a privileged elected
official, right?
Yeah. as it should be.
So there's a, you know, it can be done. And it just needs to happen, and I feel strongly that it needs to happen here. That we can't just fool around with those lakes; they're not that big. You can't mess them up. So, thank you.
I have one thing from, and it came up in my head again yesterday, and I know we're looking at, you know, some media support for this room and whatever. Are we at the point? And it would be a good thing if we are, where we would maybe want to consider using the front of the boardroom to have our meetings versus, you know, I'm trying to, being that Richard shows up, I'm trying to, you know, at least give him a clear view. And we don't have enough seats, which is a good thing. Hopefully sometime we'll really not have enough seats. But maybe to think about
The layout, basically.
The ability to set up our tables in that room, and you know, I know there are groups at night that use it and they go up and down or whatever, and it's a pain in the neck. But we kind of are getting to the point where we need more room than this, or to be a little bit more spread out.
Are you saying about committee?
The committee meetings.
Oh, yeah, the committee meetings.
And if you were to do that, I don't know. From a communication standpoint and a technical standpoint, like you were talking about putting the big screen in here, which would be good for the smaller meetings. But maybe we wouldn't want to think about being able to use that kind of a system in that room.
Sure, absolutely.
And also for, rather than continue to pull out the old slide projector, which we've been doing for like 30 years, we could think about going to Costco and getting a couple of monitors and
I think it's a great idea
because
there's a value to have them in both spots.
Even from a personal standpoint, I need to when they're going to do something like that, I need to jockey myself into it with I need to be in a position where I can see you know, and I gotta and that screen is way the hell on the other side of the room and so. You know.
There's a number of other things to consider that the, you know, you look at most modern, I was at the county supervisors last night. Their monitors are single screen monitors, high definition, that are as big as that wall.
Right.
Amazing how big they are.
And they have, and their agenda items, you know, go down the list, and the people that are going to talk go down the list all that stuff.
So, but also what modern chambers have and capabilities are they have monitors also that will feed the video feed also to this each station around the horseshoe that we have for instance. And so as we're looking at streaming, at audio systems, we probably should modernize that capability that we
right.
have. And we have that yesterday at the SCGA. We're at the Rancho Cordova Council Chambers. Our meeting had been moved. And the same thing. You know, we have monitors sitting right there. And then there's monitors for the public also. So
right.
it may be a more distributed capability to have two sets of monitors on either side of the room that face the public, have monitors that the staff have available to them as we're discussing things that we might not even have to have a big projection onto the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it actually might be more cost effective
yeah.
for that too.
Yeah.
So we'll look at different options.
But you know, as we get, and I was hoping that even as we get with Tom into the budgeting cycle that I don't think that in today's world we're talking about a tremendous amount of money. I mean, what we're talking, you know, you can start with throwing a couple of monitors up on the wall, and then you're driving your presentations with an iPad versus
yep.
versus all of that rigmarole we're going through now. I mean, so we could, you know, like get into the 21st century with some of this stuff.
We could reach out and get a design set up and bring it as part of a budget item for yeah. next fiscal year.
Or you and I could just go to Costco.
Yeah.
Or
throw in the back of my little car.
The other thing that this is our property. We can put any signs up that we want to, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that we need to have signs that go up at, like, you tell us when the meetings are.
Okay.
Outside. I don't know.
We do
like where the banners are out
yeah,
front, or this?
Yeah.
Two poles that we put up a few years ago in yeah. the drought years.
And yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
banners.
Some kind of thing that says, hey, there's stuff happening here on Tuesday night or on mm-hmm. Thursday night or yeah. Thursday morning or whatever.
Right.
And it's open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Bring yourself
mm-hmm.
here.
So that's all I got. You guys
that's
got
it.
Anything?
It's a lot.
I just have, just for Richard, we're still working on the email, who's who. We have,
it's, yeah.
and it's good that the board knows this, we have our senior, you know, our number two plant operator retired out, that's
right.
Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Our number one is out on medical right now, and our, I think our other utility supervisor.
He's back.
Oh, is he back? Okay. So we've had some, been pretty short staff. Paul's been
you've been running the plant.
We're
yeah.
so,
yeah. He's on the yeah. on the evening
so he's
shift.
Been crunch. So we are having management level meetings, and we had a discussion at the last meeting to get people thinking about okay, who would you assign for email communications for different things. So we've started okay. work on it. Hasn't been finalized yet. Just to give you an update on that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. Anybody else?
Anybody? Anything? All righty.
Okay.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
I'm adjourned at